In the name of Jesus, amen. You know the story quite well, the sacrifice of Isaac. But like you and like me, it has troubled us. It has mystified us. It has even angered us. A father told to sacrifice his only son. God wouldn't, would he? He would. The Lord came to Abraham and instructed him to take his son, Isaac, his only son, and to sacrifice him on an altar, that on Mount Moriah. Abraham was faithful, as you know. Abraham trusted, as you know. He loaded the donkey with the wood, and he headed for the region of Moriah. What a journey it must have been. Abraham knew what lay ahead, but Isaac was somewhat clueless. I mean, what do you talk about? Certainly not the weather. How do you act? Do you say anything? It sort of boggles the mind as to what might have been the conversation. But let the hearer understand, let us understand tonight that Abraham's trial was the mother of all tentatio, that is, the mother of all suffering, or Luther's tongue would be the German word anfechtung. This isn't a tale of whether or not Abraham is going to love God more than his son, as we typically read it. No. Here, God's promise was contradicted not by mere circumstance, but by God's very own command. Remember, God had promised to Abraham that the whole earth would be blessed through his offspring, his seed. And that would come directly from Isaac's lineage. But now God is telling Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Thus, God was not simply testing whether Abraham could love God above all else. Far deeper. The heart of the question was this. Could he reconcile the contradiction of God's word and continue to trust that God would remain faithful and keep his promise? After 3 days, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw Mount Moriah. The time had come. Isaac bears the wood upon which he will be sacrificed up to the mount. And he wonders and he asks his father, "Father, where is the sacrifice?" He knows that blood must be shed to atone for sin, for without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sins. He knows the ritual. He knows and he wants to know, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? At this point, Abraham's heart must have ripped out of his chest. Abraham is left to experience the full force of the divine hostility exerted by this contradiction of God's words. Human reason, notes Martin Luther, cannot resolve this kind of contradiction, he says, for it can only conclude one or the other. Either that the promise was a lie in the first place, or that, second, the command did not come from God, but it came from the devil. Hence, it drives the flesh either to blasphemy, that is, to call God a liar, or second, to despair and believe that God hates you or hates him. Indeed, without faith, Abraham would have certain reasons to think both of those. But where reason fails us, faith prevails in such contradictions. By faith, Abraham determined that God would remain true to his promise even when he issued a command that was contrary to what he had originally said. And that his promises are true and they're infallible and they flow from his character, which is without blemish or wrinkle. So Abraham builds the altar, and he arranges the wood, and he places his son upon the wood, and he raises his hand to sacrifice his son, this knife, and the Lord stays his hand. The Lord provides a different sacrifice, a ram that is caught in a thicket nearby. Now, even if the Lord had not stayed Abraham's hand and he would have thrust a knife into his son, killing him, even then, Abram would have believed that Isaac, though turned to ashes, would still be the son of the promise. Isaac still would have remained the channel by which God would bless Abraham and multiply his seed. Because faith reconciles this contradiction of God's words by pointing first and foremost to the resurrection of the dead, as is noted by the author to the Hebrews. Abraham faced the fear of losing his son and determined by faith that death would not hold his son captive forever. But even as this is true, this does not mean that you should trivialize Abraham's act of obedience in this case. For not only would a father with his own hands kill his own son, the father would have no way of knowing when exactly he would see his son return to life. An immediate resurrection doesn't seem to lessen the grief of a father knowing that he would not know when he would see his son, and certainly perhaps not in his earthly lifetime would he see his son. Luther is very right in capturing the sentiment of Abraham as he speaks with his tongue. Today I have a son, tomorrow I shall have nothing but ashes. I don't know how long they will lie scattered, but they will be brought to life again. Whether this happens while I am still alive or thousands of years after my death. For the word declares that I shall have descendants through this Isaac, even though he is to be reduced to ashes. So, faith reconciles opposites and solves divine riddles. It provides the believer with understanding, an understanding that lies beyond that of human reason. It holds fast to the promise of God and takes refuge in the faithfulness of God. Granted, this kind of faith still lives in the crucible of our exiled life, our sinful life. And so this faith holds in tension, on the one hand, the sure confidence and belief in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. But on the other hand, it holds also to this reality of a tortured soul bleeding and having to forsake even those which are most cherished to one, in the most realistic sense, even sacrifice. So no critic, no scholar, no reader, no hearer can say that Abraham was simply going through the motions. And so on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided, God says. What shall be provided? The sacrifice for sin. For sin, our sin has exiled us from God, and blood is required for payment. And on the mountain, the Lord will provide his own blood and his own sacrifice. Because when Isaac carried the wood for the sacrifice of himself, he prefigured, he foreshadowed Christ himself, our Lord, who carried his own cross, his own wood, to the place of his own passion and sacrifice. And like Isaac, he is a bound sacrifice. And he is nailed, and he suffers, and he dies. And this final sacrifice, this all-redeeming sacrifice, takes place on another mountain, not on Mount Moriah, but on what we call Mount Calvary, more literally Golgotha, the place of the skull. And you know here that Jesus carried his own wood for his sacrifice. And from this wood, this tree planted in the heart of the earth, the blood of the Lamb would take away the sins of the world, as Mount Calvary would unearth itself into Mount Zion. That is the Mount of the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy city where the saints of God live and they never pass away. The Lord provides the final sacrifice for the sins of the world. So also, we hear earlier that Abraham makes a three-day journey to Mount Moriah prior to the sacrifice of his son. But Jesus' three-day journey follows his sacrifice. And his 3 days, he lies in the tomb. For 3 days, the grave holds him. But then on the third day, as you know, he bursts the grave. A new life is born, and the promise of resurrection is promised to all who abide in his word. Or as you know it so well in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." In other words, God provided his Son as the sacrifice, his only Son, and required it for our sin. And all who believe in this sacrifice, in the Lamb of God, shall not perish, for God alone provides everlasting life. So yes, you know the story well. Perhaps it has always troubled you or mystified you or even angered you. A Father, an only Son, and a sacrifice. Yet faith reconciles these opposites and solves these divine riddles. Faith turns its ears to another story of another Father and another Son and a sacrifice who is that Son. Or more pointedly, as you know, a heavenly Father and an only begotten Son who is the sacrifice before the foundations of the world were made. The first story is fulfilled in the hearing of the second, and the second you shall not read without the first. You cannot read the sacrifice of Isaac and not think about the sacrifice of Jesus. You should never do so, because all Scripture testifies to Jesus. And outside of Jesus, to be frankly honest, even the Scriptures themselves are a twisty road that confounds human reason and leaves us speechless and lays upon our flesh heavy, heavy crosses. But with faith in Jesus, one solves divine riddles and reconciles all things in his forgiving blood. The faithful Father, Abraham, shows himself as one who faithfully clings to the promise, even when God hides himself. For it affirms the goodness and faithfulness of God when everything in the world, even when God himself, says otherwise. For faith in Jesus is confident trust in God's character and declares that even in the darkest of hours, that God is faithful and he will fulfill his promise. Abraham's trial, his tentatio, his suffering, his anfectum, shows us that when the smoke clears and the storm subsides, the hiddenness of God will dissipate, and we, the Christians, the believers of Christ, will find God to be as he has revealed himself to us. That is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and even more so, the Lamb of God who is victorious over our sins and sits upon the throne and is the center of all heavenly light and life. And from there, and also from the altar and the pulpit and the font, he beckons us to this eternal life and light. This is our peace. Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.